Good morning. Hi, my name is Mary Beth Taylor. I serve at Littleton United Methodist Church as the associate pastor. I'm thankful to call Brad and Megan friends of mine, clergy friends, and also friends, being able to journey on life together and do fun things together. In July, I'll be starting a church plant called Open Space, which will be in Littleton, Colorado, and also hopefully some other cities and states throughout the years as we continue to create an open space for people to learn about Jesus and talk about their spirituality and their faith. I'm really excited to be able to be here with you today. I thank Brad for the invitation and for all of you for welcoming me so openly and kindly. Brad had told me that you're in the middle of a sermon series on the Friedman's Fables written by Edwin Friedman, who is a counselor and a rabbi, a man who guides and leads and teaches through stories. Because sometimes stories are a little easier for us to recognize in ourselves than us taking a good hard look at some of our own personal stories sometimes. So I wanted to just begin by reading you a Friedman fable this morning. And this story is about Little John. Oh, and one side note, I guess one thing I should say before I begin. Whatever the sermon title is, we wait and we are transformed. Just ignore that because that really has nothing to do with where my sermon ended up going. Last year I had a concussion for 6 months and I spent a lot of time waiting, and I thought about Brad and he's going to spend a lot of time waiting as he heals, and thought I'd go that direction, and then God took me somewhere else, the Spirit guided. So that's just one little note. Okay, the story about Little John. When Little John was about a year old, his parents noticed very thin fibers protruding through his pores. After another few months, the fibers had extended themselves. They began to form curls. The condition alarmed his parents, so they took Little John to a doctor. The physician, after examining him carefully, called in several specialists. They, in turn, summoned their colleagues and, after conferring for several hours, announced, "Little John was unique in medical history. His ganglia were growing outside his skin." Since there was no record of this having happened before, it was not clear what the ultimate effects of such a condition would be. And since Little John was otherwise in excellent health, it was decided to do nothing for a while but observe. Of course, one immediate problem was Little John's rapidly developing extreme sensitivity to everything and everyone around him. The doctors alerted his parents, warning them that they must be super sensitive to every move and touch. Being very sensitive people anyway, they readily agreed. As Little John grew, so did his ganglia, until they trailed about him as he walked. While it was not a pretty sight, surprisingly it turned out to have some advantages. Little John learned from the very beginning, for example, first from his ever-concerned parents, and then from others, that he could always count on someone watching out for him. Indeed, he learned early in life that anyone who came into his orbit would always pay attention to his every move for fear of hurting him. He found that he could plow a path through any group of friends by just walking toward them. People would always retreat at his advance for fear of stepping on his feelings. When he engaged in sports or when he just wanted to be first in line, all he had to do was start in the direction he chose, and his approach itself proved to be an open sesame. Sometimes he encouraged people who had not been forewarned about his condition. Oh, I'm sorry, sometimes he encountered people who had not been forewarned about his condition, and then he had to point out to these people as early as possible about what his condition was. And then he had to point it out as early in the relationship as possible. Once they understood, however, they never tried to get in his way. All of this is not to say that individuals never felt resentment toward Little John. some of his classmates and one of his brothers in particular, who were most competitive with him for certain goals, felt handicapped for his handicap and by his handicap. But they never spoke about it aloud. All managed to quiet their resentment with self-recriminations about their own insensitivity. And so it went. Little John graduated high school, having done fewer homework assignments than any other child who ever attended, and he obtained a secure job, though less qualified than most of those seeking the same position. One day, he met a woman whom he liked. Being extremely shy and not having enough confidence or experience to refute her own poor image of herself, she was thrilled at the advances of this very attentive, if somewhat strange, creature. She treated him with the utmost deference, and her pity soon became love. Everywhere they went, she watched out for him. In time, the guiding principle of her life became, how can I help this man avoid pain? But after they had been married for a while, she began to tire. She still tried, for his poor man could not help himself, but it became increasingly difficult for her to be constantly mindful of his needs. She decided to confess her increasing insensitivity to her friends. She mentioned it to her family, to her minister, to her doctor. She sought professional help. All comforted her and sympathized, but could offer little practical advice. And so they urged her, be more patient. She tried again to shape her existence to his needs. Then the headache started. Then the little tick in her eye started. Soon she found she was losing weight. Colitis further restricted her freedom, and it was not long before her thoughts turned to suicide. She dared not tell little John, of course, for fear of hurting him. Why, if he knew that all of this was due to his condition, he would be inconsolable. One day, as she was walking home, she chanced upon a mother cat giving suck to her newborn kittens. As they scrambled over each other, one over the other, trying to be first, the mother carefully guided each of the kittens to its own turn to get its milk. She would stretch out a firm but gentle paw as she lay contentedly on her side. Then little John's wife noticed that one of the kittens had been born lame. The leg had not been fully formed, and it had more difficulty maneuvering than the others. Strangely, it was also the most aggressive. While the other kittens went satisfied and went off to sleep, this one kept coming back to wiggle its way in front of the thirsty others. Each time, however, the mother cat pushed it away, at first gently and then successfully with harder whacks. Little John's wife watched the poor kitten and the inhuman mother. Now, when she returned home, upon finding her husband reading in a room, she planted herself in the doorway and began to stare. A little while later, little John, desiring to enter another room, marched straight for the doorway that framed his wife. She did not budge. Closer he came, closer, never thinking actually to ask her to move. After all, he had never had to ask anyone to get out of his way before. Suddenly he stopped. Confused. What should he do? First, he assumed his most wounded look. Then he tried one that was more winsome and boyish, but his wife was like a rock. In desperation, he finally spoke, "Move! You know I cannot squeeze by." Nothing. "What's the matter with you?" he yelled. "What are you trying to do with me? This is like a trap." Then she did begin to move, not aside, but directly toward him. She moved directly toward him, and he retreated, so she continued on. He moved back faster, and still on she came. Soon he was cornered Have you lost your mind? He said incredulously. Careful there, you almost hurt me, he said pathetically. And that did it. She raised a foot and stomp. With all her might, she came down hard on one of his trailing nerve endings. He screeched, either from pain or shock, and again she stomped, and again and again and again. And he ran past her, but she pursued him. He screeched again, and the scream encouraged her more. Stomp, stomp, she continued chasing him from room to room and up the stairs and down the stairs to the cellar, to the attic, to the kitchen, to their bedroom, until exhausted, they both collapsed and went to sleep. When little John's wife awoke, imagine this. Her headache was gone for the first time in months. Her eye, too, had lost its quiver. And for the first time in a very long time, she sighed without a pain and felt relaxed. But more astoundingly, she was what she saw beside her. She was astounded by what she saw beside her. For when she looked over at little John, she found that his ganglia were no longer curled all around him about the floor. On closer examination, she realized that they had disappeared altogether. In fact, they had completely recoiled into his skin. We've all known these people, right? The people that, regardless of what we try to do and how we try to talk to them and how we try to bolster ourselves before we have a conversation, that it always seems that we hurt their feelings or we get in their way and we end up with a silent treatment or getting a pity party, and we just worry about every time we're going to have a conversation with them. What will it be like? Tiptoeing around this person, always worrying about what we're going to say and do, and always afraid that we're going to hurt their feelings or that we're going to make them mad. Now, this person for me, most of my life, was my dad. My dad and I, we were total opposites. It always felt like we were coming at things from a different direction. It would be that I would try to talk about something and he'd never understand, even though I felt like I was trying to explain exactly what I was talking about. It always seemed like he had a totally opposite understanding of what I was trying to talk about. Now, God rest my soul. God rest his soul, my dad. He died about 3 years ago. He was a great man. We loved each other, and it just became very clear to me. Even, I guess I navigated as a little child and then into high school and into college, but as I was becoming adult, I was trying to figure out how to have different relationships and with him, an adult relationship, and to have adult conversations with him. So, one time while we were on family vacation, I thought I would venture into a discussion on politics with him. So, keep this in mind that my dad, I grew up in Missouri. He was a staunch Republican and a long-time NRA member, and very black and white understanding. So it was the 1996 presidential campaign. Ross Perot was in that campaign along with Bob Dole and Bill Clinton. And so the election had happened, and we were on family vacation in June, and we'd gone to Plymouth, Massachusetts. And it was raining that day, so we were all holed up in this little motel room before we were going to go out for the day and do some sightseeing. And somehow politics came up. And I thought this would be a great conversation to talk about because, like I said, I was trying to become an adult. I thought he'd be proud of me. He's a veteran. He'd be proud of me that I went to vote and that I was doing my best to learn more about our country. And I told him that I thought Bob Dole was too old and that I voted for Bill Clinton. So, now, I was about 24, 26, and Bob Dole was about 73. So at that time, he did seem really old. Now, at 44, he doesn't really seem that old anymore. I was like, well, I could run the country at 73. That's no big deal. So it was just, I told Dad, I voted for Bill Clinton. We never had these discussions before. And then after that, he didn't speak to me for the whole rest of the day. Now, it was probably he didn't speak to me for about 2 hours until we got out of the hotel room into the rain and out to do our sightseeing, but it felt like 24 hours. We'd had this conversation, and I could just feel his disappointment that he went on to say how Bob Dole was a veteran and how he'd served his country, and it just became clear to me we were never going to see eye to eye on this. And we never talked about politics again, needless to say. So today in our scripture, I want to read a little bit to you from Matthew chapter 20. This is the scripture that comes right after your scripture from last week, where the mother asked if her two sons could sit on the right and left hand of Jesus after he goes on to be with God in eternal life. And the disciples had heard this conversation going on, and Jesus had told them, no one asks on your behalf. God makes this decision. And so in this scripture, in verses 24 through 28, it reads, "The other 10 disciples heard this conversation, and they became angry with the two brothers, because Jesus called them over and said, 'You know that those who rule the Gentiles show off their authority over them, and their high-ranking officials order them around. But that's not the way it will be with you. Whoever wants to be great among you will be a servant, and whoever wants to be first among you will be your slave. Just as the human one didn't come to be served, but rather to serve, and to give his life to liberate many people.'" So we come to this situation where, like last week, Jesus flat out told the mom, you can't ask on behalf of your sons. That's not a healthy way to have a conversation. You can't triangulate me in this conversation. And they move on to the time when the disciples have heard this, and Jesus needs to say to them very matter-of-factly, leaders that we have known, Gentile leaders, that aren't leaders of God, they rule by authority. They rule by power. But what we need to do is we rule by being servants. We serve, and then we become the strongest leaders. Jesus really tells it like it is. And the more that I study scripture, the more I move away from the kind of understanding that I had when I was a child, that Jesus was always kind and loving and compassionate, really a Jesus that, in my mind, looking back, was rather weak, kind of just went along with the flow. And as I age and I continue to grow scripture, I really have come to realize how straightforward Jesus is in his speaking. He never minces words. He's not mamby-pamby about what he wants the disciples to know or the people that are learning from him to know. So Jesus says, we are going to be servants, and that will guide us to be leaders. We also see this in Matthew chapter 19. A man approaches Jesus and asks, what do I need to do to have eternal life and enter into the kingdom with you? Jesus says, follow the 10 commandments. And the man says, I have done all these things. What am I still missing? And Jesus says, go, sell everything you own and follow me. Straightforward, decisive. Jesus doesn't say, well, young man, just kind of mull it over and kind of see what you want to do. And if you decide in a few weeks that you want to follow me, you can just come along and join up with us in the next village. No. Jesus said, if you want to be complete, go sell everything and follow me. No wishy-washy answer. And then in chapter 20, before our scripture today, another place Jesus says, to those that are first, they will be last, and the last shall be first. Straightforward. Jesus tells it like it is. There are no questions. Now, many times people have no idea what he's trying to say, and it takes them a while to figure out what lesson Jesus is trying to learn. But it's always straightforward and always very distinct. Jesus tells his disciples in the scripture, if you want to be great, remember that you serve and you become a leader. Jesus doesn't care what they need to do to make this happen, but always first, they need to put forward the fact that they're going to serve others first. And that is how they're going to teach others to follow Jesus and to lead and to liberate people. In all these instances that I've talked about in chapter 19 and chapter 20, I think for myself I've seen Jesus' divinity in a new way that I've never recognized before. Jesus is not leading in a wishy-washy way. He's not indecisive about what he's speaking to the people he comes in contact with. He's confident in who he's created to be by God. He's human and divine. And through this confidence, Jesus is straightforward. And compared to me, I've always been a people pleaser. I always want to make sure that everybody's feeling comfortable and everybody's okay. I don't want to hurt any feelings. I don't want to step on any toes or any ganglia or anybody that I might make nervous or hurt them. Jesus is always fully present and able to say to people exactly what he needs to say to live out on the earth being human, but also to live out being God and to say, this is the way that you are God here on this earth. He's committed to helping people know God, and he says what he needs to say for his disciples and other people to be very straightforward and to understand what he wants them to know. So my dad died 3 years ago, like I said, and I won't say that we were ever really great at having those distinct and decisive conversations. I'd like to say that we'd finally achieved that in every conversation that we'd had. We didn't, but we continued to try. We talked about gun control a little bit, and maybe we talked briefly about politics, but I can't remember that I ever told him again who I voted for. That never came up. But 10 years ago, Dad was not a supporter of same-sex marriages. He knew that I had friends that were gay and lesbian couples, that were married, that were raising children, and that was very hard for him to understand. However, he took the time to get to know my friends Shelley and Vance and my friends Brian and Kurt, and then about 7 years ago, with tears in his eyes, he said to me, I don't understand why I have never accepted and loved people as they have found a committed life partner. He said, I guess that's just the way I was raised, and I now come to realize that other couples are just like you and me. So growth can happen. Change can happen as we age and we mature and as we learn through stories about our own personal healthy living and how to have healthy relationships. We can continue to ebb and grow and have those conversations along the way. We may not do them perfectly every time, but we can continue to grow and be more of a distinct speaker, like Jesus has been teaching us to be. Jesus tells his disciples, lead, go and be a servant that leads. Be a servant leader. Do all things by putting other people first. Show that example. And he didn't mince words. He was very specific about what we're called to do as Christians. The greatest thing that each one of us has to offer the world is our own unique self. I feel like in this story with little John and his wife, that little John was really stymied in his growth, in his learning. He was never pushed to achieve much. He was never encouraged to grow. Everybody always worried and never said what they were thinking or feeling, never wanted to get in his way. Maybe he hadn't continued to grow into the person that God was creating him to be. And then you had his wife, who was always trying to adjust herself to be what he needed. Each of them never really fully growing in who God had created them to be. That's our opportunity. Our opportunity is to have relationships and conversations that are distinct and straightforward. That doesn't mean they have to be mean and nasty and ugly, but they can be straightforward, kind. Each one of us needs to live forward in being who God has created us to be. And through Jesus, we can see through his teachings that the very best thing that we can do is to be ourselves. To be ourselves and to not change who we are. Through that, we can continue to learn about Jesus' humanity and divinity and work into the ways that we can be more like Christ, the ways we can be more like Jesus incarnate in this world. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll be guided to continue to learn and grow in our own relationships so that we can continue to learn how to serve in this world. Is there anyone that you need to be more specific with? Is there anyone that you need to put aside their feelings to think of your own direction for a while, your own calling, the way that God is calling you to live out your life? Each day is a different journey. Each relationship we run into is a different relationship. Let us look to Jesus to understand how we can be more straightforward and healthy in who we're created to be by God. Amen.